Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing money challenges that can jumpstart progress.
That's right, buddy. We are talking about money challenges. Sometimes you just need a good old-fashioned challenge to get you to do something that you want to do, but you kind of don't want to do, sort of like a duel. Like, I challenge you to a duel, sir.
Or back in the day when we were like, I double dog dare you. And it's like, oh, no, you didn't. I'm definitely doing it now.
Is he calling me a chicken? is he calling me out as a coward? There are certain things that, like, trigger us to actually do things. But that is exactly what we're talking about today, man. These money challenges that are going to help us to gain some traction with our money. First, I wanted to give you a quick little update. We've talked about this on the show before, or at least I think we've talked about how, like, I've been working to teach Evie. So our 8-year-old, Kate and I have been working to teach her. Let's be honest, specifically it's me. the money nerd. I've been working to teach her about investing. So basically, money that she keeps in her account that she doesn't spend is quote unquote invested. And I pay her 2%. But here's the catch. I pay her 2% weekly. And so every Saturday I calculate how much money that she gets, and we use this app called GoHenry. I transfer that money over to her account. Sometimes she remembers on the day of and gets all excited about it, but sometimes it's a few days later and she's like, oh, and she will go to her phone and check how much interest she's earned that week. And she also spends out of that account. And recently we're having a conversation and she was wanting like this really fancy bouncy ball. Like, this was the bouncy ball that was like, I think it was like in the 20s.
What?
Yeah. I don't know if it was like extra large. Like, was this like the size of a bowling ball or something? I don't know. But we were talking about it and we're totally going to be willing to let her make her own decision. But then she asked this question. She asked, oh, if I buy this, how much interest will I then get on Saturday? Like, basically, she knew that she was going to have less money in her account, mm-hmm. which meant that she was going to earn less money in interest. And dude, that was a massive win for her to ask that question, because not only was she weighing the cost of the actual object, she was weighing like opportunity cost of yes. that money in the market. And so she was weighing all the different aspects associated with this purchase and the effects that it would have on her money. I was such a proud dad. Like, in that moment, I was just like, oh my gosh, like, it totally clicked for her. And so I wanted to share this because, if you have kids out there and you're trying to find different ways to teach your kids about money, I think you can start earlier than you realize. I think you and I mean, we both started with our oldest girls, like maybe around 5 or 6 years old, starting yeah. them kind of down the path of doing chores or different jobs where they would earn money.
And now you're getting like another level deeper.
The next level up.
And
exactly.
that sounds like a light bulb moment for her where she's going to remember that a long time. And when you click those things together, that like leaving your money be is actually going to lead to that money increasing
yes.
is really crucial. And obviously right now, in savings accounts, that's kind of not the case, but it is the case, right? You're helping her to learn the principle,
exactly.
In actuality, like, savings accounts right now kind of suck.
It's why I call it investing yeah. as opposed to this is money that you've got saved yes. in your account, because I'm treating it like it was an investment, even though there's no risk of that money going down. I'm not going to be like, oh, hey, there's a bear market and you're actually losing money now.
Yeah. Well, I think
that's that'll be the level 3000 class.
I think another thing worth noting here is that, like, we are responsible. No one else is going to teach our kids how to handle money appropriately. And you and I, we even recently talked about how in Georgia, they're going to start teaching personal finance to a higher degree in high school classrooms. And we applaud that. We think that's great. But one, you got to start young. It's just like learning a language, I think, right? When you start learning a language from infancy, you're going to become fluent so much easier. But when you start learning a language in 9th grade, it's a little bit harder to get good at it. Yeah. It takes a little more intentionality. And so
the sooner the better,
yes.
for sure, when it comes to money, the different lessons that we can all learn, because that all translates to then these larger, more sophisticated lessons for them to learn, like a bear market when things aren't looking so good, but that's all a part of it.
Oh, you should swipe all her money out of her account and be like, bull market, baby. And she's like, what? Dad, you didn't tell me about that.
Banking fraud. this account was not FDIC insured.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, honey.
You had the wrong joint account holder listed, and it was me, and I swiped it. Don't do that.
That'd be a hard lesson to stomach.
Yeah, don't break your heart like that. All right, well, let's move on, Matt. Let's mention the beer that we're having on this episode, and this one is called Double Barrel Wild Sinister Kid, which is just awesome.
Which we are working to not raise wild sinister kids.
Maybe wild, but not
wild
sinister.
Wild kids are okay. Yeah, the sinister. I don't want an evil kid.
Yeah, no, you don't want that. But this beer looks deliciously evil. This is by Trillium Brewing Company, and listener Allie sent it our way, and we will give our thoughts on it at the end of the episode.
Yes,
because,
we will.
Of course, you and I, we drink a beer every episode to enjoy something that we love while we're saving and investing well for the future. But let's get on to money challenges, Matt. And
let's do it.
We specifically, we're going to outline a few money challenges you can choose later on in the episode. We're going to talk about how we're going to partner with you in this money challenge. But when we were thinking about this episode and what we wanted it to look like and how we wanted to help listeners challenge themselves when it came to making money progress in 2022, well, I don't know why, Matt, but it made me think about pregnancy. And do you remember the time when, speaking of Evie, your oldest, like you guys found out you were pregnant with her?
Yeah.
I mean, it sticks out in your mind. It's
totally.
It's one of those moments that you never forget. You're like completely exuberant. It's the most joyful you feel like you've ever been in your life up until that point.
It's true. Until they're actually born. And then, I mean, that's the most intensely joyful moment. I mean,
yes.
Like for all four of my kids, definitely cried for every single one of them. It's just like unbridled tears of joy. I could not stop the waterworks for sure.
Totally. It's a special moment. But I think when you find out that you're going to have a kid, especially for the first time, and that time in between that excitement and then 8 or 9 months later, whenever your baby is born, you realize there's this clock ticking and there's, mm-hmm. It's like, there's so much to do, so little time, got to get with it. And there's a lot to learn. Like how in the world are they going to let me take a human home from the hospital and take care of it?
Who's in charge here? Like, yeah. Are you just going to let me have a kid at home?
And then you look in the mirror and you're like, I am that person
in charge. Yep.
That's scary. And so, yeah, there's like books to read. There's a nursery to outfit. There's onesies to buy.
Yep.
There's a birthing class to sign up for. Right? You and I, we attended one back in the day.
That's right. Well, so yeah, with our oldest kids, we didn't know what to expect. And so we went, it was a couple's birthing. It wasn't just you and me. And like you and I went,
we went with our wives, yes.
All four of us went to the same birthing class. And it was a cool experience to kind of learn and mentally and physically prepare a little bit for the birth of those girls.
Yeah. Yeah. And really what it was you're like, I have to figure a lot of stuff out in a short amount of time, and it lights a fire. And and I think similarly to that period between finding out that you're having a baby and the actual birth of your child, how there's this like time span that's really crucial and important where you got to get a lot of stuff done. Well, I think the same, there's a similar analogy to the way a money challenge can be, have this jumpstart effect in our lives. And so like for our listeners, if you're still attempting to amass your emergency fund, or you're trying to eliminate credit card debt, maybe once and for all, or you realize that you were out and now you're back in it after the holidays. Well, Matt and I, we're going to talk about the benefits that a money challenge can have in your life. And we're going to give you some suggestions today for how to proceed. And we want to partner together with you when it comes to these money challenges. We want to give you ideas and then also be a part of the progress that you're making.
That's right. I totally agree with you. Getting pregnant, it really is like signing up for a challenge because, you know, being pregnant and giving birth to a kid, those are really hard things to do. But similarly, yeah, when it comes to our money, everyone is trying to make smart decisions. And certainly, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably hoping to make wiser money moves. But if the clock isn't ticking and you haven't officially accepted the challenge, you're most likely going to continue down the same path that you've always gone down. And this is, it's a well-worn path that's comfortable, it's familiar, and you know what to expect. And if your inputs continue to be the same, you know that you're likely going to see the same outputs. But by placing yourself in a situation that's maybe a little bit foreign, maybe it's slightly stressful, you're going to see some incredible changes in a very short period of time. And that's what we're hoping for you to see in your life.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think sometimes the reason that we're not able to see bigger results is because we don't have the actionable steps that we can take to immediately start working towards the financial goals that we have. Maybe it's analysis paralysis, right? Like you can call it whatever you want, but we're trying to avoid that phase. When you have the correct information, you've performed your due diligence and you know what you should be doing, but you're just carrying on with what you've always done.
Yeah.
Like we're fixing that today because sometimes you need to be jarred out of those typical habits, those typical routines, and sometimes what you need is a program or a challenge that can serve as a wake-up call to get you on your way.
That's right. Sometimes that's a pregnancy, or sometimes it's just me and Joel talking to you here on the podcast. And I like that you said program. program too, you know, because it's what we need. It can often feel like we're just kind of out in space, like floating on our own, when what we're needing is some structure to help give shape to what we're doing with our money. And so, for example, I'm thinking about like signing up for a race. If you've got a half marathon on the calendar and you've paid to do that race, the chances are much higher that you'll actually get out there and run.
Because you're like, dang it, I spent the $50.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, I'm in now.
Exactly. You've got money on the line, and there is a certain amount of accountability as well. And yeah, both of those can be extremely helpful forms of motivation. And like Joel mentioned, we're going to talk more about accountability later in the show. We believe that it is an important part of making these money challenges stick. But yeah, the fact that you're signing up for a program, like, it makes me think about, I mean, again, with a race, like if you say you sign up for a 10K, well, you know that there's a certain distance that you're training for. And so that gives you direction. You're not just out there running because you are like, well, I just generally need to stay in shape. I need to move my body. For some, that might work. But for a lot of people, it is incredibly helpful. If you know that you're training for 6.2 miles, or it's incredibly helpful to know that, oh, this time I want to set a new personal record for myself. I want to try to get it underneath 45 minutes. But whatever it is that, you know, whether it's a race that you sign up for or a money challenge that you're going to go after, entering that frame of mind is going to help you to see outsized results.
Yeah, there's a difference between I'm training for a 10K and I should probably get out there and go for a jog. Like, there's a difference in mindset and then a difference in what you're going to accomplish. Mm-hmm. So let's talk and dig into some specific money challenges that we want to give on the show today that we want you to consider taking on. And we're going to list out a few that fall under different categories. So let's cover a few that we think are worth considering. No spend challenges are one of the most popular, I would say, forms mm-hmm. of money challenges out there. And it's also one of the easiest to implement. So if you're like, give me that easy challenge to start with, then this might be for you. And really, when it comes down to it, how much stuff do we need, especially now we're in the beginning of January?
That's
you might
true.
Have just realized I got a bunch of new stuff that I don't need, and maybe it's time to start parting with a few of those things. And so, yeah, taking part in one of these, it can really reset your shopping impulses. It can help you curb what might have become habitual behavior for on your part. And it's kind of like how, Matt, a lot of fellas like to grow a mustache in November, or people don't
never
like
done
to,
it.
No, me neither. It's not physically possible.
Yeah, Matt and Joel, not very good at the mustache game.
True. And or in January, right now, a lot of people are not drinking a lick of alcohol for the whole month. They partied it up a good bit in December, and they're like, you know what? This is the challenge for me, is to not drink anything, no beer, no wine, no spirits for all of January. And, you know, obviously, you and I, for our job, we have to. So we can't participate.
And we tend not to party as much. So, you know, we take the more moderation is better approach.
Exactly. If you always do a little bit, you never have to get to that point.
There you go.
But we would say that set period of time where you attempt to buy nothing similar to those other things, well, it can be a major help to your finances. Matt, we, of course, had Kimiko Love on the show on Monday, the budget mom, mm-hmm. and she had a lot of great advice. And one of the things, I don't think we actually talked about with her, but when we were like reading up on her story, one of the things that kickstarted her ability to save well was she actually spent no money on clothes for a whole year. I think she did make an exception for like socks and underwear, but that's how intent she was on getting her financial act together and saving money for her future and for more important stuff. Like what she did share a story about H&M and being in the checkout line, and she was going to put those clothes on a credit card, and that was a wake-up call for her. And so I think something like that, finding a category in your life that is worth putting on hold for a period of time and challenging yourself not to spend a dollar on that stuff, can be a really helpful challenge to partake in.
Totally. Yeah, and her willingness and intentionality to do this have obviously paid off in a big way. We talked about her story on Monday. But so how to go about doing this, we would suggest that you choose a specific category and a specific length of time. And so we do want you to try to stretch yourself, but try to keep realistic expectations so that you don't fall off the wagon. Because remember, you can always end up succeeding at that first goal and then sort of add another one to the list. I think that'll be a more encouraging way to progress rather than goals that you aren't achieving. And so specifically, maybe this means for you, no Amazon shopping for an entire month. Or maybe you commit to only buying used items through February. And so you can modify a spending challenge to fit your specific needs and your specific goals. And you might even find that allowing yourself to purchase new items, say only on Wednesday, that might give you just the amount of flexibility you need. But whatever path you you pick, we would suggest that you write it down and then find a way to keep it front of mind. Maybe that means you just kind of tracking your progress on a worksheet that you keep taped to the bathroom mirror. Maybe this means giving yourself a small reward once you crush this challenge, but different things that are going to keep you on this path where you're able to reinforce this behavior that you want to see done.
Yeah, Matt, I feel like the no spend challenge is so flexible. There's so many different ways that people can participate, and we all could probably use it this time of year just as a way to save more and also prevent ourselves from wasting money in a way that maybe we normally see our dollars flow down the drain in this general direction. It's like, let's put a plug in that hole. Hopefully this challenge is helpful for lots of people. And of course, that modification is helpful because you can kind of make it look however you need it to look. But we've got more money challenges that we want to pose to you, that we want you to consider. We'll get to those right after this break.
All right, we're back. We're talking about money challenges. And, you know, as we highlight some of these different challenges, like, we're going to try to cover a wide range of examples that could spur change, you know, in a few different facets of how you handle your money. Because many of us are in different phases of life and we have different areas where we could improve. For instance, like buying too many clothes, like, that's not a problem for me. That's not a problem I deal with. And so for me specifically, that's not a challenge I'm going to subscribe to.
Because that's one you would easily crush and you don't even need to take it on.
Maybe I should take it on just to, like,
feel good.
It's just like adding an item to the top of your to-do
list.
Look
how awesome I am.
Already done. But as we introduce several more of these different challenges, we don't want you to get overwhelmed as we discuss these, because first of all, you don't need to take them all on, right? If you try to do that, they'd probably mess you up if you tried a bunch of these at once. Instead, we want you to think of it more as sort of a choose-your-own-adventure scenario. Just tackle one at a time and then take a breather. And then, again, attempt another one if you feel like that they are making a helpful impact. Like, it makes me, you know, we're talking about, like, running a race. It makes me think that if you decided all of a sudden that you're going to do everything that you possibly can to get healthy, and you started dieting, and you started training for a triathlon, and also you're looking to get totally ripped, like, you're getting swole. Like, you can't do all of these things at once. I mean, you probably could try, but you're either going to completely burn out, or you're going to see some negative effects to your body if you're pushing yourself too hard. There's a good chance that you're going to get injured, and that's something that we want you to avoid with your finances.
That's right, yeah. You can definitely overdo it. And it's possible to say, I'm going to do all the challenges, and I'm going to, you know, and I want to win big time.
Was that your deadlift?
I'm
going to do all the challenges.
I don't know if I've ever done a deadlift. I'll probably try to refrain forever. But
I think I didn't. I used to lift in high school, so...
It shows. So, yes, as we continue to roll out some of these challenges, don't feel the need to do all of the above. And in fact, it's best not to go in that direction. But Matt, let's offer up another challenge here. We talked about no spend challenges, but food challenges can be helpful, a helpful way to save more money in a hurry too. And that's because when you look at the numbers, the average American family spends a lot of money every month on groceries. And not to mention eating out as well. And the average cost of a meal that you eat out is $12.75. Needless to say.
I guess that includes like fast food, right?
Yeah, so like...
$12.75 seems kind of affordable if you're looking at like a... I don't know. Like if you're going to out on a date, Kate and I aren't walking out of there, you know, for $25.
No, you're paying more than that. But there's a whole lot of people who eat way too much fast food, and they're eating $5, $6, $7 meals every day, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, you can eat really well, we would say, at home for a whole lot less than that, of course. But here's the thing: the average person, not only are they paying $12.75 on average per meal that they eat out, the average person eats out between 4 and 5 times a week.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And so that's a lot of money that you're spending on food that you could easily avoid if you want to. And in fact, the average American would save almost $40 per person per week by eating all of their meals at home and avoiding restaurants. And when it says $40 per person per week, I was just thinking, oh my gosh, Matt, that... You have a family of 6. I have a family of 5. Like, that's a lot of money when you add it up. And so eating out is definitely one of those areas where if we don't pay attention to it, if we don't challenge ourselves in a specific way, we will find ourselves just bleeding money.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, we're talking, like before the break, we talked about no spend challenges. We're kind of talking about some of these different food challenges here. One of the reasons we're starting with these specific challenges is because it does not require any additional resources from you. In fact, all it requires is just discipline and you removing things from your life, which is something that most people can do. And then there's that immediate reward, right? Like when it comes to earning more money, there's like a slow buildup and it takes additional time from you. But we're not necessarily wanting you to fill all of your hours of the day with trying to earn a little bit more money. But as we're talking about food, like it's important to note that we don't hate restaurants. You know, like we love supporting and eating out at our favorite local joints, although we don't hit them up 5 times a week. But this is one of those instances where we need to focus on the health of our own finances before we're looking to support local restaurants. And since we're talking about money challenges, a short-term commitment to homemade meals, home-prepared meals can be a big win for you. So for instance, if lunch is one of your problem meals where you're constantly, you know, finding yourself eating out, going out with the coworkers, that kind of thing, just opt to pack your lunch every day for an entire month. It's as simple as that. And in 1 month alone, the savings will be significant. Not only will you find that you have a lot more money at the end of the month, but there's a good chance that you are probably going to feel more healthy since you're avoiding just a bunch of processed food. Chances are you're going to be eating much more healthy, especially if you're eating leftovers. I mean, come on. You don't even need to buy special bread and special lunch meats. Just take those leftovers to work, heat them up in the microwave, and you've got a great meal ready to go.
That's right. You are the leftover.
I love leftovers.
You love,
dude.
Leftovers. Like, I've not met anybody that loves them as much as you.
It baffles me. Like, who doesn't love a delicious leftover, especially too? Oh, I mean, granted, this is a little bit different because I'm at home and I can fry up an egg real quick. But any leftover, it's always better with a fried egg on top.
Yes. And you know what? Leftovers are great, but you can also, you know, make your lunch yourself from other things.
Absolutely.
You can go the carrots, almonds route that I typically do. throw a banana in as well. But that is one challenge, to not eat out for a whole month. And I think that is a challenge worth accepting for a lot of people because you're going to see a huge boost to your savings really quickly. Another food challenge that you can consider is the pantry challenge. And this means, this is like basically pushing you to eat whatever is left in your pantry and in your freezer before you go back to the grocery store.
It's kind of like a leftover challenge, which is one I just made up, right? Yeah. Like forcing yourself to eat everything that you have already prepared.
Exactly.
It's like forcing yourself to eat all the food that you've already purchased. You've already spent money on these items of food and they're sitting in your cabinet, your cupboard, whatever you call it, or your fridge, and making sure that it just doesn't go to waste.
Well, yeah, and the things that you don't want to eat, you've pushed to the sides, you push typically to the back.
Yep.
And so I guarantee you there are things in there that are edible. You don't need anything that's like nasty and expired and just like completely non-edible at this point, but there are, I'm sure, a lot of things in all of our collective pantries and freezers that are edible, that are worth eating, that you can make taste decent at a minimum.
Yeah.
And so I think it's worth that challenge to be like, you know what? No, I'm going to eat it all. I'm going to get to the point until there's nothing left in there. And Matt, one of the websites we've mentioned on the show before is supercook.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's a site that can help you make whatever you've got on hand edible. You kind of put in the ingredients and then it spits out an idea for a recipe for you, which can be majorly helpful.
Yeah,
to
super cool.
Because you're like, how do I combine these three ingredients? And it's like, well, maybe go to this website and they'll help you out.
Yep, there you go. No spend challenges can be just a great way to spend less while also wasting less. How do you make sure that you don't immediately reabsorb that money that you saved into other areas of your life?
You're like, woohoo, I spent less on clothes, I spent less on food, but I just bought a PS5.
or now I'm going out more.
Yeah.
Because I've got all this extra money in my budget. Well, spending less in some specific categories will only get you so far unless you're immediately channeling those funds towards a specific purpose. And that is where savings challenges step in. They can be the perfect way to build that all-important emergency fund, or they can help you to more quickly save for a bigger purchase that you might want to make in cash. We want you to have more financial margin, more money in the bank, and there are a couple of great money savings challenges that are going to help you get there.
Yeah, so let's go with our first savings challenge that you can consider. This one, it goes the entire year. And so you want to start now. And by the time you get to, you know, Christmas, you're going to have a lot of extra cash in the bank that you didn't realize you were going to have going into it. And so this one is the 52-week saving challenge. It's where you ramp your savings up slowly by saving $1 the first week, $2 in the second week, $3 in the third week, and so on until the final week of the year where you are saving 50 $2. Mm-hmm. And how much money, Matt, has someone saved if they are doing this 52-week savings challenge?
I crunched the numbers. I know it.
What is it?
$1,378.
There you go. So it seems like you're starting small. It's like $1 in the first week. Not a big deal. $2 next week. I can handle that. And as you ramp up, you slowly feel the impact of that increased savings, which makes it a little bit easier to accept because each week it's just getting incrementally harder. It's not getting way more difficult, way more quick. You're not jumping off a savings cliff. And so, yeah, I think this challenge shines because it also does allow you to save a big chunk of cash for an awesome goal that you've got, like maybe taking a family vacation or Christmas gifts at the end of the year. And like you said, $1,378 is what you're going to save this year if you choose to go with this challenge. And yeah, you can go even harder if you want. You can double the numbers if you're like, that's too easy, then good for you. Like double it up and save twice that amount. But this is a good one, I think, for a lot of people who are like, I just got to get some savings in the bank.
Totally. Yeah. So that's the savings challenge. Investing challenges are basically just like savings challenges, except that you funnel that money into the market, hopefully into a Roth IRA. And so there are a lot of individuals out there who have a large enough income, but they just lack the organization to have enough at the end of the year to sink $6,000 into the market. And so, you know, you could easily parlay that $1,300 from savings to an investment. That is definitely a great start. But if you want to be a part of the weekly Roth challenge so that you've maxed out your Roth IRA by the end of the year, that's going to take you setting aside $115 every single week.
Ooh, you just stepped up the challenge here.
It's not going to be easy. Like it's not meant to be something that's overly easy, but it is much more doable than I think what people, you know, the situation that folks find themselves in at the end of the year when they're like, well, where am I going to come up with $6,000? That's just not possible. And so joining this challenge and sticking that money into your Roth, say with Vanguard, with Fidelity, or with M1 Finance, that's a great way for you to finally get your money growing for your future in a big way. If you are someone who hasn't yet taken that first step towards investing, maybe you're a decent saver, but you haven't yet started investing, this is a great way for you to get that Roth IRA ball rolling.
Yes, we've talked about no spend challenges, you know, not eating out is one of those. We've talked about savings challenges. Matt, you just dished out the weekly Roth challenge, which I think for a lot of How to Money listeners is probably in their wheelhouse right now. They're like, listen, I've got the e-fund built up, but the thing I haven't done is maxed out my Roth yet. Like I put
in a few hundred here and there.
Exactly.
Like maybe by the end of the year, let's say they've got like $2,000 in there. That's great.
Yep.
And I'm glad that folks are doing that. But there is $4,000 more that folks can slide into that account.
Yeah. And we want to encourage them to make let's let this be the year where you max out your Roth for the first time. And yeah, Matt, when we were hearing our listener money wins, so many people was like, I saved a ton this past year, or was like,
yes,
I invested majorly for the first time. I've seen a lot of How to Money listeners share that sentiment where it's like, because of listening to the show and the How to Money community, the Facebook group, it's like I was motivated for the first time ever to go to the max with this.
Yeah.
And that's what a challenge can do. And that's nice. What a community can do too.
I'm hoping by the end of this year, we'll have somebody who sends in a voicemail and says, hey, this is the first year ever that I actually maxed out my Roth IRA. And it's because y'all talked about it at the beginning of this year. You gave me enough of a head start.
Exactly. You need that runway. You know,
yeah,
you need time
yeah.
because it's like, yeah, if you got to stop an airplane on a dime, it doesn't happen. you need the runway to stop. But let's talk about an earning challenge here too, because that's another thing I think is worth pursuing, because there are different ways to save or to spend less, but it can also be helpful to have a challenge that's going to help you make more money and to do so quickly. And so, yeah, you can ask for a raise, you can get a side hustle in order to boost your earnings. Those are things that, you know, for different people at different places in their life, we would potentially suggest. But the earning challenge we want to present is something truly that anybody can do. And it's doubly helpful because it's also a decluttering challenge.
Yeah, you can flex some of your minimalist muscles. And so the way you do this, first of all, spring, right? Like this is the perfect time to do this.
And it's right around the corner. It doesn't feel like it in early January, but it's coming.
That's true. It'll be here faster than folks realize. But put a date on the calendar now where you'll have, say, a family yard sale. If you've got neighbors that you're close with, this is something that you could share with them, because you know what's better than just having a family yard sale? A multi-family yard sale. And that's what, you know, anytime the folks see the signs where it says multifamily yard sale, there's a lot more bang for your buck. And folks are willing to turn off onto that side street, see what you've got laid out on blankets or on the tables in your front yard. But personally, personally, I'm a fan of listing things on eBay. This is something that I literally started doing this back while I was in college. But literally a few months ago, I started listing some items on eBay.
Fired it back up.
Yeah, fired it back up. And what's great about it, though, is that you are able to get, I mean, literally, you're getting top dollar for it, right? Whereas with like a yard sale, it's just kind of like, okay, you've got 30 minutes left. Everything, like everything is, you know, 25 cents, and you can move a lot of items that way, but you're also not getting the most money that you possibly could. Granted, with eBay, there's shipping involved. But I love the sustainable practice of listing something regularly, having that being kind of like woven into the daily patterns of your life. Maybe not daily, but like this can be something that's more weekly. And obviously, even aside from eBay, there's other places where you can sell stuff like Facebook Marketplace. But challenge yourself to get rid of and profit from one item every single week, in the same way that we're talking about setting aside $115 every single week in order to max out your Roth IRA. This is something that's totally doable. Just picking one item that's been in your closet that you haven't worn, that you haven't plugged in, something that you haven't used in the past year or two, go up into your attic. There's a bunch of stuff up there, I promise you, that you could list on eBay and get some decent money for. And then by the end of the year, you could easily have made over $3,000 by sticking to this plan, assuming you're selling an item every single week for like $60.
You can't sell like a hair clip. That's not going
to work. No. Matt said I could sell this for $60.
I got three used staplers.
No. But again, put all of that money into savings if you don't have an emergency fund yet, or you can let it jumpstart your investing. But having less stuff cluttering your place and more money on hand is going to be for sure a great thing.
Yeah, this is one of my favorites, and we haven't mentioned this, but in the show notes for this episode, we're going to have PDFs for many of these money challenges that can help you kind of document your progress. And this, I like the PDF for this one, Matt, that you've created, because it makes it super easy to be like, check mark. What was the kind of item that you're writing the kind of item in that blank, and then how much money did I sell it for? And you can track and you can see how much money you've made over the year just by selling stuff that was lying around your house. And so this is one of my favorite challenges because it does have that double whammy effect, and you can like Marie Kondo say thank you for your service to that item, and then you can sell it to somebody
you are retired
in your neighborhood who wants it and is gonna like give it a second life.
Totally.
So all right, well, we've got a little more that we want to discuss, including how Matt and I are gonna help keep you accountable when it comes to the money challenge that you decide to undertake this year. We'll get to that right after this break.
Money challenges, that's what we're talking about today, and how they're going to jumpstart your finances. They're going to put a dent in a good way in your money. And so, you know, we've introduced several different challenges for you to accept, but how is this money challenge going to make a difference? Well, we're all about sustained change. I kind of talked about this a little bit when we were talking about eBay, but we're all about this change over time, and we believe that these wins can extend beyond this initial period of time during the challenge, and we want it to become a part of who you are. You know, it's not just about this one win. It's about starting a pattern of winning with your finances, and, you know, like quickly making a few bucks this week, selling an item, that first item, that's cool. But we're less interested in the short-term success, and we're more about looking towards those longer-term wins. And it snowballs as well, you know? Success, it builds upon success. And in one way, I just said that, like, that first sell, it's not about that $20 that you get for that first item that you sell, except that makes you somebody who sells stuff on eBay.
Yeah.
That makes you somebody who lists something within Facebook Marketplace. You did the porch pickup thing, so they paid you. You know, the item was out there. You didn't have to talk to them or interact with them.
You get your gears turning. You're like, what else can I sell now?
Exactly. It starts you down that path, and that is the mindset shift that we're trying to get you in.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think there's something about these challenges that is, like we said in the title, that it jumpstarts something that is hopefully what we would say is going to become a habit. And so, yeah, short-term actions, it might sound silly, but the goal isn't for you to constantly be part of some challenge that you heard about on a stupid money podcast like ours. You shouldn't want or really need a challenge every single month, right? The goal is for these habits to become second nature, where you're doing financially sound, financially smart things without even realizing it on the reg. And I think you're right, Matt. It's like that paradigm shift in how you handle money. It's key. And then creating an environment where positive action is consistent, and then where it also gets rewarded. That's the hope here. That's what we want to see.
Yeah, and then there's that element of healthy stress that we want to expose ourselves to, right? Because We humans, we like 72 degree weather. We like our warm beds. We like our Netflix.
We like Snuggies, some of us.
But by self-imposing some different stressors in our lives that we think can be helpful, we're able to allow ourselves to grow. It spurs us on. And if we don't do the hard work ourselves, life will impose hardship upon us. And it doesn't usually happen on the timeline that we want it to. A tweet I saw recently was, if you don't make time for exercise, you'll probably have to make time for illness.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. And, you know, so it really is up to you as to which path you want to take. You can choose a little bit of sacrifice now in order to save for your future. And if that's the path you take, you'll have plenty of options available to you down the road. Or you can completely ignore it in the present and you won't have any options in the future, where you'll be forced to sacrifice then at that point when you're older, whether that be through the work that you'll need to continue to perform or through lifestyle sacrifices. It is up to you. And we want to make sure that we're not just inoculating and shielding and protecting ourselves from every amount of stress, because oftentimes in measured amounts that stress will allow us to grow.
That's right. Yeah. Like when little kids, when they're playing in the dirt, when they're even licking their own toys, stuff like that. Like there's like a healthy immune response that's happening mm-hmm. in the midst of that disgusting, vile act that they're partaking in. I know this because I've seen my kids do a lot of weird stuff through the years. But then there's also the fact, Matt. Yeah, there's the healthy stress fact. But there's also a reality to which some of these money challenges can be fun, because we all like playing games, and you and I prefer long form nerdy board games, although we're too tired to stay up too late to play those nerdy board games these days. But money challenges, I would say, create this gamified atmosphere and helps you push harder than you might normally. It's kind of like how playing a sport, it doesn't feel as much like exercise. If some of your friends are like, hey, let's get a 3-on-3 basketball game together, you're like, sure, sounds like fun. Not sure, sounds like exercise. Like, that's not how you respond. Because it literally sounds like playing a game, but at the same time, you're running and you're juking and doing all those things that are good for your muscles.
Are you dunking, Joel?
No. Okay. People ask me that because I'm 6'5", but the answer is no.
He's like, let's just be honest, I'm just traveling.
And breaking a lot of attempted three-pointers. But basically, yeah, you're still getting a workout, you're hanging out with friends, but it's so much easier to want to do that for most of us than it is to want to sign up at our local CrossFit gym, wake up at 6 a.m. every morning. There's that community vibe that we get from sporting events and the gamification of exercise that can be really, really helpful. And that makes something that sounds otherwise boring into something that's actually fun to do.
I can't believe you're throwing some shade at the CrossFit folks. You know, I'm CrossFit curious a little bit, which is why I'm not going to say that basketball is a lot easier than CrossFit.
CrossFit does have that community vibe.
Yes, because they tap into those elements, and there's that competition, there's that camaraderie.
That's a good point. I probably shouldn't have singled out CrossFit. I probably should have singled out like LA Fitness.
Or like just waking up at 5 in the morning, going for a run by yourself, no headphones, when you haven't signed up for a race. How about that? Because that sounds like torture.
In the middle of January, and you're like, no, this was the bad decision.
It is so cold outside right now. And one of the other ways that money challenges are successful is because they up our commitment level. Because if you've only been marginally thoughtful with your finances, making less progress than you've hoped for, a money challenge can just ratchet things up in a big way. It's similar to that, like that half marathon that I mentioned. You've got skin in the game now that you signed up for it. And the same is true with starting a money challenge. You don't want to let yourself down. And so accountability comes into the equation here as well, because when you say that you're going to do something, it makes it real, because you might end up telling your partner, you tell a friend, maybe you publicly post about it, you post your intentions, what you're planning to do. When you do that, something important happens.
Yeah, if you tell everyone on Facebook that you just signed up for a half marathon, people are going to ask you about it.
Well, hopefully they will. Yeah, there's just this level of accountability that's established. And when you know that folks are probably going to follow up and ask you about how things are going, it does create the stickiness that is hard to replicate.
That's right. And so since we're talking about accountability, we want to help you out in that regard. We want to see the money challenge that you attempt this year. We want to see you succeed. And so you don't necessarily need Matt or I to become your accountability partner when it comes to, crushing that money challenge, saving more or spending less. We know you've got other friends out there who can help you with that, but we are going to offer our services anyway. And so, just go to the show notes for this episode and you can join an email list where you'll receive resources and encouragement from us. We promise we're not going to spam you or try to sell you anything. We really just want to help you succeed. The emails that we send are just going to hopefully be encouraging, and they're going to spur you on towards success as you attempt to challenge yourself when it comes to some of the things you want to achieve with your finances over the coming months and really throughout this year.
That's right. And when you sign up, you can select a different box depending on which money challenge you're looking to implement in your life. And so whether that's a no-spend challenge or a savings challenge or one of the food challenges, we'll include those options there for you when you enter in your email. We're really looking forward to this being a part of your journey this year. And, you know, Joel, like there are just so many different approaches to getting better with your money, because I see a money challenge, how it could almost be like this 100-meter sprint where you're just able to gain some important ground so quickly. Oftentimes, making positive of traction with our money just feels like a slog, but the point of these challenges is for you to see a lot of results really quickly. And keep in mind, some of the challenges that we mentioned today might sound ridiculous to you, and that's fine. You can completely ignore those, but I bet there are going to be one or two that we mentioned that sound appealing, and it might be exactly what you need to incorporate into your life. So latch onto one of those and put all your focus into knocking that challenge out of the park. And if it would be helpful to have some accountability from us, we are happy to help.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a lot of fun to see what a bunch of different How to Money listeners are going to be able to achieve because they have signed up. They've gotten all these elements that are good and helpful about a money challenge. And they've said, you know what? I'm going to take that on of my own accord and I'm going to sign up on howtomoney.com. And hopefully just that intentional choice, it breeds some accountability and it leads to just excellent money action that otherwise you might have floundered or you might have continued along in the same patterns, like you said, that you've been taking part in for years now. And especially at the beginning of the year, this is a great time to start because we all want to accomplish something. You're tuning into this podcast. Maybe you've been listening for years now, or maybe you're brand new and you're like, I don't know where to start. Well, this episode is a great place for
this
you to enter in.
Is where you start.
Yeah. And even for some of our listeners, longtime listeners who have been listening for years on end, it's like, you know what? A money challenge can help you achieve a new goal or a goal that you've had and you're like, it's going to take me a long time to get there. And this can accelerate your progress towards one of those goals, even though you've been handling money well for a number of years now. So I think challenges can work well for people of all different places in their money journey. But Matt, let's get back to the beer that we had on this episode. This one is called Wild Sinister Kid. It's a double barrel wild ale from Trillium Brewing. What were your thoughts on this one?
Well, I will say that this is a delicious beer. Dude, I am so stoked that not only were we able to finish last year off with some with a Trillium beer, but we're able to kick off 2022 just on such a great note. This was a fantastic beer. As soon as we cracked it open and poured it, you picked up on those oak barrel notes. Like, it just had so much barrel action going on. And the nose, just from smelling it, like, I mean, you mentioned this, but you said, you're like, is this a stout? And I think that's because oftentimes when we smell bourbon notes in a darker beer, you immediately think, oh, it's a bourbon barrel aged stout. But this was a sour. This
was also dark too, right?
Like it is dark. Yeah, exactly.
It was
a dark sour.
Yeah, exactly. It poured black in the glass. And so I think it's because it's an old ale, maybe, is what it said. I forget.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, certainly aged more, having gone through the barrel aging process. But, dude, it had excellent acidity and tartness. And it kind of made me think of like a whole new style of beer, or not a new style, but like it made me think, if I had to call this something else, I would call it an Imperial Flanders Red.
Oh.
Because it had all the flavors that you typically associate with a Flanders, right? The acidity and the darker notes.
And some of the vinegar vibes from...
Yes. Yeah. But it was just punched up to a different level. That's where the Imperial comes from.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really enjoyed this beer. A huge thanks to Allie for sending this one our way. But yeah, what were your thoughts on this one?
So I'll just really quickly say, I agree. This was delicious. And it was completely unique. And there were so many different flavor vibes going on in this beer that it's almost hard to pinpoint exactly what I was tasting. But it's also, I thought of it almost like a 1,000-piece puzzle where there are all these things going together, but they fit together perfectly.
It's so good.
And there's a whole bunch of beers out there that are trying to do a lot that don't accomplish it, where you're like, I do not get what the brewer was trying to go for there.
Yeah.
But this was not one of them. It was delicious in all of its eccentricity. It had just a huge amount of drinkability to it. It was delicious.
And what's so amazing is the fact that this is a wild American ale. This is a sour. And That is another style that I've had by Trillium before.
No, yeah, they're mostly known for brewing delicious IPAs.
They're New England double dry hopped IPAs. It's essentially their flagship style. And for them to take on a, you know, what I would call not like a style that's not in their wheelhouse, and to take that and just knock it out of the park like that speaks a tremendous amount of their capabilities there up at Trillium Brewing Company. If you ever see some Trillium, I would suggest that you order that beer because it is likely going to be delicious.
Yes, you will not be upset.
And one day we might get some Trillium distributed to Georgia.
Oh, that would be a great day.
That'll be the day.
Well, big thanks to Allie for, since we don't get Trillium in Atlanta, for sending this beer our way. We really appreciate it. And that's going to do it for this episode. Again, sign up for those money challenges on our website in the show notes for this episode, which are up on howtomoney.com. We're excited to see what you can make happen this year with your money.
That's right, buddy. So until next time,
best friends out.
Best friends out.